Okay, hearing nobody checking in or asking questions, you go right ahead, Tony. You have a nice presentation tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn. I was just giving people a chance to go and officiate the presentation, open it up, and be ready. So, yeah, we'll get started now. Okay, as previously mentioned, I will be talking about D-Star and the VIP WeatherNet and the relationship between both. Move on to slide number two. Slide number two, just give an overview of what we'll cover. First, to talk about what is D-Star, what can it do with the various modes of operation, where it's being currently used for emergency communications. There is quite a bit of relevance to our net, even in these early days in that section. How can we integrate D-Star into our operations, and different methods to do that, and just a little bit on how we deal with the presence of D-Star. It is already being used, so we do have to start thinking about it. How can we work with it? Anyway, I'll move on to slide number three, which is, and I'll give a pause for enough to catch up. On slide three, we asked the question, what is D-Star? Basically, D-Star is a new digital voice and data network for amateur use on the VHF and UHF bands. The protocol was developed by the Japan Amateur Radio League. Currently, there's only one of the major radio manufacturers actually sells the equipment, which is ICOM. However, there is some equipment, non-radio-based equipment, sold by third parties, and there's some quite a few homebrew efforts to get various D-Star compatible systems up and running. The on-air protocol is open specification. It has been published by the JARL. The only trouble with that is to get the most out of the information. You have to be able to read technical Japanese. A lot of the details haven't been translated into English, although quite a bit of it has been reverse engineered. And unlike Echolink and IRLP, D-Star is digital from end to end, from your radio to everyone else's radio. It's a fully digital system. Break more to follow. On slide four, what can D-Star do? D-Star has several features. It has two modes, called DD, which is a high-speed data mode, and DV, or digital voice, which is a combined voice low-speed data mode. More on those in a minute. There are gateways and gateway routing to pass traffic around the world. There's a third-party add-on called D Plus, which enhances the features beyond the original set. And we have a DV dongle, which allows a PC to participate on the D-Star network. Moving on to slide five, DD and DV. These are the two main modes of operation on air. DD is basically, it's a high-speed data mode. In some ways, not unlike Wi-Fi wireless networking. It's 128 kilobits per second on the RF channel, simplex, so very much like Wi-Fi, except a little bit slower. It presents an Ethernet interface, so you can run TCP/IP over it, which allows you to run web browsers and all your internet-style applications. Through the gateway network, it creates a global, effectively global wide area network, so I can run 128 kilobits per second data from here to the US or Europe or wherever else there is D-Star. It's only available on 1.2 gigahertz because of the bandwidth requirements. It requires a channel of at least 200 kilohertz to properly pass. Break more to follow. DV is quite a different beast. It's basically a voice mode with simultaneous low-speed data. The data rate is 4.8 kilobits per second for the total data channel. The RF bandwidth is under 10 kilohertz. The voice channel is coded at 2400 bits per second, with another 1200 bits per second of forward error correction, making a total of 3600 for the voice part. And the voice uses the proprietary AMBE vocoder from DVSI Inc., which, although it's closed, is readily available in the form of an IC for around $20 US per part. The data channel supports DPRS, which is a digital equivalent to APRS, position reporting, text messaging, and low-speed data transfer. The effective bit rate is approximately 950 bits per second, so throughput quite similar to 1200 baud packet radio. Already there are several third-party applications to make use of the data channel, a number of chat and file transfer applications. There's even a digital flow scan television application, so you can transfer still images across it, across a D-Star radio. Break more to follow. Yeah, moving on to slide number 6, which is the one titled Gateways and Gateway Routing. This is where we get into the more unique features of D-Star. There are a number in the US that advocate systems such as P25, but this is the part where D-Star really shines. Gateways, as well as being a local repeater, much like our FM repeaters, also can use the internet to provide global D-Star connectivity. The DD mode is implemented as a global IP network over a virtual private network, and each terminal is issued, which is each call sign and identifier is issued with its own static IP address on a private network. We probably won't deal much with DD mode initially because of it's still relatively expensive. DV mode is quite a different beast. The native D-Star implementation doesn't use the concept of linking like we use on IRLP and EchoLink. It uses source routing based on call signs. And for those of you that have D-Star radios, you'll understand what I'm talking about. For those experienced, those that aren't, it'll seem a bit unfamiliar, but it's not unlike TCP/IP networking. But basically, to communicate to a distant station on D-Star, you have to set four parameters into the call sign configuration of your radio. They are, I'm using the terminology for the IC91AD, which I have. The first one is MY, which is equivalent to my call on a packet TNC, and that's basically your call sign, which is normally just your basic call sign, but if you've got multiple radios with different configuration, you may have an extra letter in the 8th character position to distinguish that radio from your others. Break more to follow. Okay, once you've got your call in, you need UR, which is where you're calling. UR can be one of two things. It can be a plain, it can be a straight call sign, just like my. That means you're trying to route to that particular station, and the D-Star system will try and find out where that station was last heard and route the traffic through the appropriate gateway to reach that station. That works quite well. The biggest problem with the plain call sign routing is if the station you're calling is in an area with a lot of D-Star repeaters and they change frequency fairly frequently, the gateway system may be a couple of minutes behind and it may not route correctly. So what you can do is you can put slash and then a call sign, and you'll also need the port designator as well, but the slash call sign means route via a specified radio port, and you have to put the port letter, which will be A, B or C, in the 8th character position. So, for example, to route via the K5TIT system on 70 centimetres, I would put in UR forward slash K5TIT with the letter B for Bravo in the 8th position, and that B says go out port B, which I happen to know is a 70 centimetre port on that system. Finally, we have R1 and R2. R1 is the local radio port, which if I had 23 centimetre radio, would be VK3RWN, and there would be A in the 8th character position. That means that the repeater knows that I'm actually interested in going through that system and not through another system on the same frequency. And R2 will generally be the same call sign, but with the G in the last position, and the G means the gateway. That's where it exits the local system or the local area, and that says send it to the gateway and let the gateway network deal with the rest. A short break. Oh, actually, before I do, a quick note on the 8th character position. That's quite often special, and in terms of the destination ports, I'll start again. Each repeater or each gateway has up to 3 voice ports, A, B, and C. Sorry about that. I'll repeat that bit again. Yeah, I was just saying the 8th character position has special meaning in D-Star. In my call, it's used to identify secondary stations, such as a mobile or a portable. I might have M in the 8th position if I've got a D-Star radio on the car that I want to operate independently or simultaneously with a base station, and I might have a P for a handheld. That's optional. You don't have to register multiple radios, but if you want to use them simultaneously, it is a good idea. On repeaters and port-based routing, the 8th position designates sort of where you want to go to. A, B and C refer to different ports on the same machine. For example, here in Melbourne, port A is the 1.2 gigahertz port. Port B is on 70 centimetres and port C is on 2 metres. There are a couple of other special letters, such as G for the in the R2 position in the example for the gateway. Hang on, I'll just make sure. Yeah, I'm still going through. Yeah, I've come back. Now at the destination end, the called station must set up a reciprocal route, so it has to, the person you're calling has to do all this to get back to you. So they've got to set up their R1 and R2 to suit their local repeater and gateway, and the UR has to be either your call sign or the port that you're going in on. However, most radios have a one-touch reply feature, which usually works and programs the appropriate information in for you to be able to route back. So you can just hold down the one-touch reply for a second, and your radio will automatically pick up all its settings. Finally, there is a multicast mode, and multicast basically allows up 10 stations to take part in a net. That's the basic ICOM DV features, break, more to follow. Moving on to slide number 7, we talk about D+, which has some enhanced gateway features. D+ is an add-on which is on most, if not all, the gateways around the world. It was written by Robin Kutch or AA4RC, and adds another layer of functionality. Some of the features of D+ include gateway linking. So instead of going through all the routing stuff, you can link gateways together. This works similar to IRLP or EchoLink in that there are special commands that you can use using the call sign fields on your V-Star radio to set up a link to a remote system. And like IRLP and EchoLink, once a link is set up, any other radio which has its local gateway in the R2 position will be heard on both ends of the system. So the person at the other end doesn't have to set up a reciprocal route, they just have to make sure their gateway is in the R2 position on their radio. D-Plus also has reflectors, which work just the same as IRLP reflectors, to allow multiple gateways to link in and form large nets. There are at least a dozen reflectors, each with three channels, around the world as I speak. D-Plus also enables DV-dongle connections. A DV-dongle is a little piece of hardware that connects to a USB port and provides the AMBE vocoder to encode and decode the audio. And there's also a Java package that comes with it to enable it to connect to D-Plus on gateways and reflectors. The DV dongle allows PC-based users to connect to D-Plus enabled gateways and reflectors. And it is a means of accessing D-Star when no local gateway exists, such as Rob has a DV dongle, and he doesn't have a gateway in his area, but he's able to access the system from his PC using the dongle. I also run a dongle too as a secondary means of access if the local gateway is busy or offline. Break more to follow. Okay, on slide number 8, current emergency communications usage. Despite being a relatively new mode, D-Star is already being utilised for Skywarn and other emergency communications applications, particularly in the southeast of the United States. There is significant D-Star infrastructure. There's been some quite significant building programs in that area. And DVDs from AR Video News, I was able to watch the D-Star presentation from Dayton 2008, which sort of went into quite a bit of detail about how much is actually out there. There is the southeastern Skywarn net on reflector 002 module A. That's been going for at least 6 months, and it activates whenever hurricane or other significant weather threatens the Gulf states. Implications for us here is that D-Star is another source of information that we need to be able to access to get reports to the National Hurricane Centre. At the moment, there are a few of us with D-Star capability, so some of us, including myself, are able to access that information and interact with the D-Star users and pass it on to the Hurricane Centre. Break, more to follow. Moving on to slide number 9, we look at how can we incorporate D-Star into the VoIP WeatherNet. I would have thought we had a bit more time to consider this and sort of look at D-Star over a period of time. The rapid adoption of D-Star does mean we have to work with it a bit sooner than anticipated. So some of the things that we can do to increase our capabilities, we can sort of consider identifying local gateways and obtain D-Star capable radios for those of us that are in areas like myself. I bought into D-Star in late 2007. I was actually on air before the local gateway came online. as I saw a bit of potential for the moat in the long term, and since the gateway's been up, I have been operational on it. Also, have a look at the DV dongle, and there's a couple of other alternative hardware projects at various stages of development, and you can utilise that. If there is no local gateway, the DV dongle is definitely an alternative, and also as an alternative to the local gateway, if you don't want to tie up or the local gateway, or there is it's too busy or it's offline, you can use the DV dongle as an alternate means to access the network. In the long term, we would probably need to look at linking the VoIP WeatherNet to D-Star already today. For D-Star nets on reflectors, we can use an analog gateway to do that, which is basically taking a D-Star radio and connecting it up to Echolink or IRLP hardware, and that will work in a pinch and can be done. There is technology to do this digitally, like we do with IRLP and Echolink. Currently, there's a bit of controversy surrounding that, which we do need, as a community, needs to be sorted out over time. However, one thing to point out is that if D-Star operations are using call sign-based routing, linking is not really an option because it's very hard to capture all the traffic. Call sign-based routing tends to be very much one-on-one directed. About the only exception I can think of is if the station doing the linking is part of a multicast. And yeah, just must have just finished. Yeah, I was just how far to get, Rob? Okay, I'll just recap the last point on slide 9. Is to link the system, we can use an analog gateway with a D-Star radio hooked up to an IRLP or Echolink system. There is digital audio technology available, but it's currently controversial and not well supported in the community. And if there's a net or operations using call sign based routing, it's extremely difficult to link and capture all the traffic. About the only way to get that traffic would be the good old fashioned manual relay from someone within earshot at either end of the link. Break more to follow. Okay, we'll move on to interoperability of a more direct kind, as in joining the two systems together between Echolink, IRLP and D-Star. Being able to interoperate between D-Star and IRLP and Echolink is a potential benefit, just as linking IRLP and Echolink permanently has benefited the net greatly over the last 4 or 5 years. Unfortunately, there's currently a few challenges that are hindering the implementation, and these do have ramifications for net operations and for interacting with D-Star. The technology does exist. It can be done. It actually has been done. However, there are a few hurdles. Those of us that have been around for several years will remember that in the early days of Echolink, there was a big controversy surrounding linking IRLP to Echolink, and it took quite a while to sort out, but once it was sorted out, once the social and system issues were sorted out, we ended up with some quite workable solutions, such as the net that we're participating in today. The current implementations of digital links are controversial due to a bit of history, and early efforts to link the two lack sufficient controls for the administrators of systems on both sides to control what sort of traffic connected, so it allowed fairly much uncontrolled linking to and from D-Star, which basically caused a number of issues, both from an interpersonal standpoint, but also in jurisdictions such as down here, there were potential legal issues too. The wrong Echolink system was connected to D-Star, there's certain licensing issues that can be a problem here, so there wasn't enough control of the system. The D-Star community hasn't reacted very well to this. Due to a large part, the way it was all done, it wasn't well coordinated with the D-Star community, so there was a lot of opposition due to the lack of coordination and the lack of cooperation between both sides, and partly because of community resistance. The D-Star community is quite a significant.
W9LUO for the VOIP.net, and I assume that Tony will be back in just a moment. He timed out, I think, and he will be back. He has another slide on his presentation, and I hope you're all enjoying the presentation.
It's all right, Maron. They're not sure how far I got, but with all the issues, I was suggesting the best way to proceed now is if the community, the D-Star, the Emergency Communications Community, and those interested in linking the systems start working together. And I've started a blog which outlines how this could be done, based on the successful model for IRLP and Echolink that has led to the conference we're using today. So if you go to the link in the PowerPoint presentation, and there's a few ideas I've written up that might help the community as a whole sort of move beyond this impasse and come up with some systems that can be useful for our nets. Okay, break more to follow, and apologies for the timeouts. I'm going to have to get myself a timer. Okay, moving on to slide 11. This is the last slide with content, and that is just a summary. D-Star is here. It is being used. We already have groups using D-Star for emergency traffic, both voice and data. I haven't covered data much at this point in time, but that's another issue that I have raised in the blog. D-Star is integral to emergency communication planning in some states, again, particularly in the southeast of the United States. The data capabilities, both high speed and low speed, offer new opportunities. It gives us yet another tool for our toolbox in addition to what we're already using. The analog systems and the networks that support them, such as IRLP and Echolink, aren't going to disappear in a hurry. I imagine they'll be quite active for decades to come. So we need to work with both the older analog systems, both VHF, UHF, NHF, as well as the newer digital systems. They'll be working side by side for many years. And the emergency communications community needs to work with the D-Star community and the software developers to restart the efforts to make the systems operate together for when we need to link them. And particularly in times of low traffic, nets can then be controlled from one point, just as we do here in IRLP and Echolink, controlling the two systems from one point. That's basically the presentation, and if anyone has any questions, please go ahead. This is VK3JED. Yeah, do we have any questions, D-Star related questions, either about the system or or any comments about who's actually using D-Star for operations here. So any questions or comments regarding D-Star? We have W2LIE in the text box. Go ahead. This is VK3JED. Yeah, if you want to connect to Reflector via the gateway, to connect to a reflector is a bit different. The command set for D plus is different to the routing, and put in the R2 position, sorry, in the UR position, you would put, I'll type it as well, I think it's that, you put RES002, which is the system, I'm not sure if, I've got to check the exact syntax, it's either AL or LA, A being the port, and L being the link command, that's basically it, thanks for that, Marilyn, so yeah, thanks for the comments, but yeah, so you put in the UR field, you put that to make the link. Once you have made the link, once the system said link established, you then revert back to putting CQ, CQ, CQ in the UR position for general talking. There are a number of sites you can Google on the internet, but yeah, the D plus commands are, no, it would just be UL in the seventh, there'd be spaces and then UL in the last two positions. So it'd be six spaces and then UL to unlink is the command to drop the link for reflector and for D plus linking in general. Okay, do we have any more questions before I hand it back to Net Control? VK3JED.
VK3JED, thank you for that great presentation, and we all appreciate it, and I think we'll be checking out your blog spot as well. And thanks also for preparing the PowerPoint so that we can review some of the things that you've talked about. We also maybe have the audio recorded if you've got it on the computer. At any rate, this is W9LUO for the VOIP Hurricane PrepNet. Do we have any further general questions or any comments or late check-ins? If so, please call Net Control now.
VK5C2, I have a comment for Tony. I think Tony wanted some more comments, but you picked it up. So I'll just break in here if I can have a comment.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Merrill. VK5C2, Tango Yankee in Adelaide. Just on the controversial side, I think, you know, obviously communications between all parties is the key, and that's sometimes we in amateur radio don't do that all that well. And I can cite a couple of examples, obviously the early linking between Echolink and RLP earlier on, and plus some of the linking done on the Sydney reflector, especially the transcoding between 9509 and 9500. A lot of that technology got pushed, I think, onto users without adequate education as to what was happening and things like that. So when people try to go ahead and build systems and link systems, you know, with all the enthusiasm that they think it's great, when other people as a larger group are unaware and they hear things and probably get some bad examples of how this technology, linking technology works just by, you know, the lack of controls and stuff, you usually find that that's where the resistance builds and it tends to spread. And a lot of that's ill-informed information, but it tends to impede the progress on the system. So I'd like to hear Tony's thoughts on that, especially with experience with Echolink / RLP linking earlier on, which is going to be the same with any cross-linking system, I think. With the permission of Net Control, I'd like Tony to answer those questions.
Net Control has, Tony has permission to answer any questions that come in. He can just take it from here.
Just to the problems, yeah, there's, that's basically what happened in the case of D-Star. And yeah, as you said, early IRLP and Echolink. And we're also seeing it revisit again between Asterisk and IRLP. Again, history's repeating itself in several places. Yeah, the 9500 is a bit of a special case. Yeah, that's sort of needed a bit of fine-tuning to drop the link at certain busy times, and at other times it does actually facilitate traffic. So yeah, it's been controlled to sort of avoid those issues. You've hit the nail on the head pretty much there, John, on all of that. Any further comments before I hand it back to I'll put it back to you for any further comments on that point before I hand it back to Marilyn.
Okay, thank you, Tony. That's pretty well answered it. I just thought that point needed to be expanded. Might be useful. You've already, no doubt, got that covered in your blog spot, which I'll have a bit of a read on later on. Okay, that's all comments from me. Back to net control. CK5ZTY.
This is W9LUO, and net control for the VOIP Hurricane Net. Any other comments or late check-ins or questions? If so, please come now.
WA2AQQ.
WA2AQQ, go ahead, Bob.
Okey-doke, Marilyn. Just, I believe at Ham Radio University next week is going to have a D-Star session, and Nassau County, New York, which is on Long Island, part of the New York City, Long Island section, does have a D-Star net already, which they just started a few weeks ago. And they do have check-ins from as far as New Jersey on it through a D-Star repeater in Manhattan. So other areas in the country are definitely taking it up, Tony. And I will recommend to Nassau Aries that they take a look at your presentation and a look at your article on Blogspot. Back to net, WA2AQQ.
WA2AQQ, thank you, Bob. Tony, any comments?
Yeah, thanks for that, Bob. Yeah, it's D-Star happening everywhere over here. It's not being used for emergency use, but there are several general rag tune nets on D-Star, and the system's fairly popular, at least here in Melbourne. It's not too hard to get traffic, even amongst locals. And we also have a national reflector here as well. So, yes, there's a bit of D-Star activity over this side as well. Anyway, I'm back to net control, and thanks for that little bit of information. And those that can attend the Ham Radio University, it might be worth checking out their D-Star tuition as well. W9LUO and the group, VK3JED.